ready to call the meeting to order.
Thank you very much. Welcome everyone to the special meeting of the Aurora Grande City Council on Tuesday, May 19th, 2020. Deputy City Clerk Mastin, can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember George?
Here.
Councilmember Paulding?
Here.
Councilmember Barnage?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Storton?
Here.
And Mayor Ray Russo?
Here. Will you please, in your minds, follow along with me as I read the flag salute? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Deputy City Clerk Mastin, do we have anyone on the line for public comment on items on this agenda tonight?
We do not.
Okay, then at this time, I will close public comment and move on to item 5, which is closed session announcements. Mr. Carmel?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. At the Council's May 12th regular meeting, we discussed anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D2 involving one potential case. There is no reportable action. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That takes us to item 6, and item 6A is update regarding countywide COVID-19 efforts, and I'll throw this over to Acting Deputy City Manager McDonald.
Thank you. Yes, this is Whitney McDonald, your Acting Deputy City Manager. We are here today to just provide a few updates regarding COVID-19 actions that have been occurring in the county, as well as some local activities in the city. And so I think I'll start off by kind of providing an update on things that have been happening over the past week since we last discussed this at our last regular council meeting. I will start by kind of reminding everybody that the county still has an informational phone number to call with questions. I myself have called the county a number of times, even after the county's order has lapsed and we are under the state's order. I think the county has been a really wonderful resource in trying to get clarifications on what the state order means for us, and so they have been a really wonderful resource for that. So I would recommend if people have questions, you know, they can call that hotline. That number is 543-2444. And our city phone number for questions related to, it was originally set up for questions related to enforcement of the county shelter at home order, but I think we can kind of modify that to allow for other questions related to kind of COVID-19 responses. So that number to call for city related questions is 473-5404. Emails can still be sent to shelter@home@arroyogrande.org if there are any questions that people have that we can provide information on within the city. So as I mentioned, the county's shelter at home order lapsed on the 16th. They did not renew it, and that means that we are now just operating under the state's order and following any requirements coming from the state. However, even though the county let its own shelter-at-home order lapse, they did take a step to produce and issue a new order, and this one is specific to hotels. So in an effort to try to kind of stem the flow of tourism coming to our area from other parts of the state that may have higher infection rates and that potentially put our residents at risk, the county has enacted an order to limit hotel registrations to 50% occupancy, and that order was issued on the 17th, and it's effective for 14 days. The county will be reviewing the order at that time to see if it needs to be continued, and so that's one new order that the county has put in place that is effective at this time. Otherwise, in terms of orders that affect us, we're looking at the state for that guidance. Another activity that's happened at the county level, this morning the County Board of Supervisors confirmed a new, what's called an attestation from the County Public Health Officer, Dr. Penny Bornstein. She is essentially attesting to the state that she, in her professional capacity, believes that our county has reached certain metrics and is ready to move forward in terms of the state's reopening plan. Part of the new attestation is it is based on new criteria that the state issued regarding those epidemiological markers for when the state believes that counties will be ready to begin reopening, potentially beyond what the state is allowing across the state. So there are currently, I think, 23 counties that have received authorization to open further than what the rest of the state is doing. And so our county is looking to do, to have similar considerations in play. And so in order to do that, the county needed to attest that we met those certain health criteria. And based on the changes that the state made to the criteria themselves, our county believes that we're there, that we're at that point. And so now that attestation has been sent to Sacramento for them to review and essentially certify that and let us know if they agree and that we can move forward. So we may be looking very soon. I think the county's hoping for that feedback from the state sometime this week. And so we may be looking at potentially being able to go a little further in the state's reopening plan. And so the biggest changes that that would bring would be we would be allowed to have all retail open, and open not just to curbside pickup, but open to people, you know, shopping indoors. And also having in-restaurant dining. So they're looking at allowing people to now go back to restaurants and eat inside. There are a number of steps that the state is requiring before, in order for those restaurants to reopen. There are a number of kind of restrictions and physical distancing requirements and protocols that restaurants need to put in place for sanitation purposes. And so there's a long checklist, or there is a checklist that is available for restaurants to look at and start implementing to get ready for reopening. Again, I have found that the county's website has been the most useful and clear in terms of getting those guidance documents, those checklists and step-by-step sort of instruction for reopening. So I would recommend people start at readyslow.org, and the state's information has been linked in the county's website, and I think they've laid it out in a way that's really helpful. So it shows you what stage we're at, and then it shows you what stage is next, and then it identifies a number of checklists and protocols that each industry needs to look at implementing in order to reopen. So I think that's a really good resource for people to reopen. I wanted to just make one point of clarification, because we've heard a little bit in the community about some desires by gyms and facilities that offer fitness classes of sorts, as well as things like Taekwondo and karate, that those types of activities are, considered a gym activity, and they're still not allowed under either the current stage two that we're under or under the next phase of stage two that we would be going into if the state agrees with our attestation. So just wanted to make it clear out there to anybody who might be listening that that is still something that is not allowed to be open under the state's orders. I think looking at what we're doing locally, we have been looking at some suggestions from restaurants who are trying to put their plans in place for when they can reopen. So if restaurants are looking to potentially add seating outside, perhaps in parking lots or just using resources that they have around them, the Community Development Department has been looking at those suggestions and site plans, and we need to look at things like making sure that there's proper ADA access and safety from multiple standpoints. So if restaurants are looking at potentially opening in that fashion and wanting to spread out a bit and add tables outdoors so that they're able to, you know, make it work for their business, that's something that the Community Development Department is certainly willing and ready to look at to help that get going. And another big step that we're looking to take, our Recreation Department is making plans to reopen its child care facility. So we're not at that point yet, but we're certainly taking steps and making plans to get there in the coming weeks. I think that's it for what I've got for today, and I'll kick it over to Mayor Ray Russom to add anything that I may have missed, and then if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you so much. I think you covered that beautifully. So we'll just kind of go through the order here and see if anyone has any questions. Councilmember George, do you have any questions?
I do have a question for regarding the gyms and the fitness centers. Is there a way for, do we have a list based on business permits that we might be able to send a letter out to the different businesses just to clarify, to let them know that they're not able to open just yet? I'm just wondering, with all of this change and going from the start guide to the state guide and phases to stages, it's just so confusing that I think the business owners are trying their best to follow along, but maybe they might need some assistance in that department.
Sure. That this is Whitney McDonald. That's something we can certainly look at. We do, I'm sure we can identify a list of gyms that we know are operating within the city and send a short informational letter. We can also try to find email addresses to get that out even quicker to folks. I think what we would do is most likely, you know, reiterate that we are under the state's order, that under their plan, these uses are still not allowed to be open, and then to direct them to both the county and state websites for that additional information. And I think, again, I'll just take the opportunity to remind people that the websites get updated pretty regularly because things are moving and shifting almost daily. And so I think it's a good idea for folks, if they can, to take a fresh look at the county's website for that most up-to-date information, because it has been changing so rapidly.
Thank you. And in the county's START guide, I don't mean to confuse, because I know we're not using them anymore, it also clarified what personally people could do in the next phase. And I've only seen a direction and a change for businesses, but nothing regarding personal individuals. And I may have just missed it. Can you clarify? Is it still you're just sheltering at home, but you can go out to pick up essential goods? Is that, or go for a walk on the beach? Is that essentially it? Or can you congregate with 2 to 5 to 10 people at a time?
That is a good question, and it was something that I had meant to look up specifically just before our meeting, because I had the same kind of question about the gatherings, because, as you mentioned, the county's START plan was pretty clear, I think, about, mean, it was more clear because it allowed gatherings of up to 10 people under one phase and then up to 50 under another phase. And I think you're right that I haven't seen that same level of clear guidance coming from the state. And it's not showing up on the county's readyslow.org website either, which is really just the way that they're downloading the state information for people to look at locally. So I can certainly do a little searching here and see if I can find the answer.
Thank you for that, because I did check both websites, and I check them daily, and I think we're just we're getting into this area where we're opening up businesses, but people don't know whether or not they can go out. So it's confusing, and I think we need to, while we're addressing businesses, we also need to address the individual residents and really make it clear to them what they can and can't be doing under the order, and when an order changes, what those changes mean for the individual residents, not just for businesses and restaurants, which has been the main focus. thank you for that, for looking into that. So my next question would be parks. Are our parks open? And the reason I ask that is if some of these gyms offer classes outdoors, is that a possibility? Can they open outdoors and have the socially distanced, you know, six to 10 feet apart, still hold maybe some classes outside?
I think that's a good question, because you're right that we are, you know, parks are allowed to be open, and they have been. And so I think activities that are occurring at parks that still allow for the physical distancing would be allowed to occur. I guess I'm not sure. We would have to look at probably each class or each gym setup to see if that's something that would make sense. You know, do they have a space that's available that would accommodate that? And then how do people come and go from that class? But if they were to, say, have, you know, something that occurred in an otherwise open area in a field, you know, on a play field, for instance, you know, perhaps that would be okay. I'm not sure, although under our other regulations of our park usage, if that's an issue, if we might require, say, a permit or something if somebody wanted to do classes regularly. Other than that, I mean, I think certainly an activity like that, as long as people were doing it in a safe manner with the physical distance, I wouldn't imagine that being an enforcement issue on our side, but it just gets into the questions of if it's within a facility and let's say they have an outdoor space available, you know, how is that being ensured that people are really only coming together in that area and not doing other things? I think that could be a concern there.
Right. Okay, well, thank you for that. Those are my questions for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Councilmember Barnage?
Thank you, Director McDonald. That was a really good, sort of a concise and easy to understand update, so I appreciate that. My question is regarding the outside dining for restaurants. You mentioned that restaurants would need to, you know, if they're interested, reach out, and then staff would look at the possibilities of where that could be located. And then you mentioned ADA requirements. I'm wondering when, for instance, because I immediately thought just for village businesses, restaurants, the area that we typically use behind Rooster Creek and Gina's, areas like that where we do have the fish fry and we have tables set up, with areas like that, where it's not necessarily just for a specific business, but it would be for multiple businesses, can the city look at areas that, I guess what I'm asking is, instead of the businesses trying to find their own area, would it be possible for the staff to just give a quick view of the city and maybe where restaurants are and look at areas that might be usable? And especially in regards to
when we have, for instance, the fish fry and people are eating, do they have to have, because it's a temporary location, do we have to be ADA compliant even though it's temporary? So I guess my first question would be, could staff be a little bit proactive before we open the restaurant in knowing where the possibilities are for outside dining? And then also, do we have to have ADA compliance if this is temporary use?
Thank you. Yes, this is Whitney McDonald again. I think we can certainly do some brainstorming and try to look proactively at some of these places where maybe the city could help accommodate more than one restaurants, perhaps, or at least identify places where outdoor dining could occur. I'm not certain about how that process works with other kinds of licenses, like public health license, you know, licenses, and then if there's alcohol being served, that's another issue that I'm not certain about, that ABC licenses are very location specific, and they identify the exact square footage where alcohol can be consumed. And so that's one issue that I think we can look at, what the city's regulations would allow, but there could be other things at play that might make it a little more complicated. And then in terms of the ADA compliance, I think it's the concern is wanting to ensure that the existing restaurant is able to maintain its own ADA compliance. So, for instance, we had one request came in for us to look at a restaurant that wanted to use some parking spaces in front of their restaurant to put tables outside so people could be seated and spread apart. If those tables are located in an ADA parking spot, then we have an issue with the rest of the building. So we just have to look at issues like that and making sure that each site is going to be able to be, as be compliant with other existing laws and regulations.
Okay, thank you for that, Whitney. So that's a little bit different. I totally understand that. Obviously, that would make the restaurant not ADA accessible. And so that would be specific to the restaurant. But as far as an area being ADA compliant, like a temporary dining area outside for multiple restaurants, that doesn't necessarily, we don't have to build in ADA ramps. And actually, I think we have a lot of them in the village, so it might be a moot point. And I just sort of brainstorming on that idea, I would imagine, because I know there are other cities that are doing this, and maybe we could simply, it would be no alcohol in those areas, and you because that probably is an issue, and maybe to make it easier and cut through some of the government red tape, that would be a requirement. So those are only my questions that I have right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Paulding?
Thank you. I don't have any questions. I would just comment that I really appreciate the comprehensive report by Acting Deputy City Manager McDonald, and also the questions of Councilmember George and Barnage. I would look forward to discussing the last item that Councilmember Barnage brought up, if that's the will of the council. That's all I have. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Storton?
Thank you. My questions have been answered, and thank you for the great report.
And I, too, have no more questions. So, Whitney, anything that you want to bookend this with before we go to adjournment?
I think I'll just maybe mention that I my takeaways for sort of things for us to continue working on. I haven't been able to find an answer just yet about gatherings under the state plan. As Councilmember George mentioned, it's not super clear and available in an obvious fashion, I think. So it'll help. I think I need to confer a little bit with some of my county colleagues and probably get some clarity there. So I think I can let the council know what the answer is to that question after I get that clarification. And then, yes, I'll work with our community development staff to look at some ideas for setting, you know, identifying some of these areas to help our restaurants as they reopen. So I think those are my main takeaways.
And Mayor Russell, can I ask a couple of questions of the council on some of the questions that they had for Whitney?
Please.
Bill Robeson. Okay, thank you. This is Bill Robeson, acting city manager. The questions that were coming from Council Member Barnidge, I just wanted to get a little clarification so we can get staff to have a good focus on what they would be looking for. Is it the areas that are kind of in the public that we own in the back of Olihan Alley? Is that where that the city owns, or are they privately owned? Or what areas were you kind of using as examples?
Thank you for that question, Director Robeson. I didn't really have anything specific in mind. I was just sort of brainstorming, and a member of the public called me and was asking me about it. I had posted an article on Facebook about the city of Berkeley that is actually closing down streets for outdoor dining, and I'm not saying that's what we're doing. I'm just brainstorming. And so I immediately thought about parking lots that are level. I know we have parking lots that aren't level, and also that where ingress and egress wouldn't be affected and you could still get through. So I did think about the one right behind the old city hall, and then I did actually think about the parking lot up behind the council chambers, but the tiered parking, the top or the middle that's more level where you could kind of barricade that off. But again, I'm not wedded to anything. So public, private, I guess I'm just looking at function as far as proximity to restaurants, and also that it would be traversable as far as if you're going to put, you know, tables and chairs, it can't be slopey. So I think that if someone all of a sudden wants to do that, and especially if it's a couple restaurants, two or three, I would just like to have some homework done so that we say maybe, and here's why we think or why we think that won't work. So did I give you enough information?
Yes. Yeah, that it's kind of that shared area for maybe a conglomeration of restaurants to use as outdoor seating or outdoor eating area. It's relatively flat, and we're always trying to look for ways to get these restaurants back online and getting people to buy their food. So we'll take a look at that around the village and some other spots, and we can kind of get ready for that request when it comes in, and or give the council some good places that this might work. So, yeah, thank you for that clarification. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
And I'm sorry, this is Whitney McDonald again. I realized that I had another kind of takeaway work item that I didn't mention, which was sending a letter to our local gyms, just clarifying where we're at in the state order. So just wanted to let people know I do have that on my list here.
And Councilmember Paulding, I have a follow-up question, if that's okay, Mayor.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Bill, just going on what you were saying, I just wanted to be clear on process. If we did have a restaurant owner that wanted to look at an outdoor seating arrangement, would that be a temporary use permit or minor use permit that they would initially be applying for, or would that be actually something you would be looking at in terms of, you know, proactively analyzing what steps would need to be taken?
Yeah, thank you. This is Bill Robeson. Councilmember Paulding, I think we would be going for the second part of your question your question. So we'd be proactively looking at these, and we would try to make it as smooth. smooth and as simple as a process as possible. We kind of look at their old permit or their old conditional use permit or land use permit that approved the original kind of site area and use areas on the property, and then we could probably get a good idea if we're kind of melting out into some other areas, if that's still in substantial conformance with the previous approval. But I think for the most part, you know, Whitney and I talk about these things a lot, and we would be proactive in trying to help these businesses get that eating area as quickly and as easy as possible.
Glad to hear it. Thank you.
And Acting City Manager Robeson, did you have any more questions of council, or was it just the one?
No, that was it. Thank you.
All right. Last call for any questions.
Madam Mayor, this is Mayor Pro Tem Storton. I just wanted to get a clarification on the two letters that were the supplement to our agenda this evening. I believe this is a private parking lot. It would be worked out between the private owners of the lot, but I wasn't sure what relevance it had to our discussion tonight and why it was attached. So I just wanted to make sure some follow-up was being done on that.
This is Whitney McDonald, the Acting Deputy City Manager. If it would help, I had the same question about how those emails related to this item on this agenda, but it did, you know, raise questions about a potential application. And just to briefly let everyone know, our community development department got a phone call from the pharmacy owner yesterday with just questions generally about how this might be accommodated, and that's where we're at with that. So I think, just so everyone's got the same information, that's as far as we've heard at the city about that possible use.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. I'm glad you're looking into it. Thank you.
Any other last questions? Okay, everyone, thank you so much. And that takes us to item 7, that's adjournment. So we'll see you a week from today at 6 p.m. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.